Well, sometimes we just don't know our limits, do we? Here's some more examples. Let's take a look at some of these slides here. Here's a train. Can you imagine? That's a passenger train, and all those hundreds, maybe thousands of people just hanging on there to get a ride. And then how about this truck here? Can you get that much of your crops on a truck? Or how about this forklift? Just a little too heavy there with that container. And how about a car? Did you ever go to B&Q and try to load up your lumber? I don't think he got very far. And how about five people in a moped? Who needs a minivan if you got a moped? And how many of you like caravanning? There you go. How about this idea? Caravan on a bike. I love it. Well, we're in our second session of Margin, Restoring Emotional, Physical, Financial, and Time Reserves to Overloaded Lives. And last week we looked at the emotional side of things. And of course, if you were here last week, you could tell, you know, our emotional health is really integrated with our physical health. Certainly there's a connection there. And God's Word, for example, observes this in Proverbs. It says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. So we took a look last week at some of the pathologies that come along with some of the benefits of progress in our modern history, and we're going to look at some of these right now. So with progress, you know, we've got an abundance of everything, including an abundance of food, but with that, we seem to have a decrease in restraint of how we deal with abundance. And of course, we've invented all kinds of ways to create light when there is no light outside. But then with that, we have a decrease in our regard for sleep and the rhythms of our body. Of course, we have an increase in media. We're just saturated with media, and along with media comes a feeding of images about our bodies. And when that happens, we have a decrease of our self-esteem. We're always comparing ourselves to the images that we're being fed through various media. And of course, a physical response to this is all kind of eating disorders, which just seem to be on the rise. And we begin to idolize other people's bodies or our own bodies and become obsessed with things like diets, whatever we can do to try to get to be like the person in the magazine or on the screen. And speaking of screens, you know, we carry them around with us more often than not. And all these mobile gadgets, scientists and doctors are telling us, is really affecting the way our physical brain is developing. And we're actually hindering the development of healthy brains. And, you know, we see an increase in afflictions like autism and ADHD. And some studies are showing some correlation between just the prevalence of mobile devices at young ages and these problems creeping up in our young ones. Now, some of the benefits, you know, of progress is we've got, for the most part, less physically demanding jobs. You know, we're not having to exert ourselves as much. But one of the drawbacks of that is that our hearts, because they're not getting the exercise from our day-to-day work, they're having to pump faster to get the same amount of work done. So instead of pumping maybe 60 beats per minute, in order to pump enough blood for our body, they're having to pump 80 times a minute. And so our hearts are having to work harder because we're working less hard. And of course, all around us, we've got entertainment of every stripe of anything that we could ever want. But as one observer has said, we now have the phenomenon of amusing ourselves to death. Amusing ourselves to death. Well, let's just mention a few general symptoms of a life with physical overload. We, of course, overlapped with some of them last week, but here's just a few. A lot of us have sleep problems, and we're having to turn to the GP for a prescription to help us out with that. And along with that, we have fatigue problems. So we part of our body wants to rest more and part of our body can't seem to rest. And we go back and forth on this pendulum. And a lot of our immune systems are impaired and running at a lot lower rate than they ought to be. And so as a result of all this, our physical afflictions seem to be constantly attacking our bodies. So last week we talked about a test of how you know when your emotional life is just overloaded. You're maxed out and oversaturated with emotional drain. Well, how about a test for when we know when we don't have any more margin, we don't have any physical reserves in our life left? You know, the test is not how big your biceps are or how thin your waist is. You know, God's not looking for catwalk models. He's not looking for bodybuilders or weightlifters. The test is, if God asked you to do something today, something that you're not doing yet, would you have the physical energy to actually do it? To actually take up that call and pursue it. The Bible reveals that God created us in His own image. In the image of God, He created us. You see, it's important that we have physical reserves to carry out God's mission because He's imparted to us His image. And He's given us the esteemed position of ushering in His likeness wherever we go into the world, into every nook and cranny. Wherever we set our foot, we take His image with us. And furthermore, God dignified our physical bodies, our physical selves, when He became incarnate, when He became human. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said this, comparing the devil and Jesus. He said, "The devil came close to us, but he did not come so close as to assume our nature. He did not become man and has not come so close to us as did God's Son, who became our flesh and blood." And of course, once He became our flesh and blood, He was willing to sacrifice that flesh and blood. And when He did so, God resurrected His body. And Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians, "Christ was raised as the first of the harvest, the first fruits. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when He comes back." You see, in Jesus' resurrection, the scriptures tell us that Jesus was visible. He wasn't like some sort of ghost or apparition or three-dimensional projected image. He was a visible person, and He walked with people on earth after He was resurrected, and He talked with them. He ate with them. He went into rooms with them. He sat down with them. He even cooked food for them. You see, the resurrection is personal. That means it has to do with your person. It's not impersonal. It's not depersonalized. It's not disembodied. Christ coming to us, Christ dying for us, and Christ being raised for us, it's like an appetizer. It's like a trailer. It's like a movie trailer for our lives, for our being born, for our dying, and for our being resurrected. And resurrection is the fulfillment of our redemption. It's the fulfillment of our salvation. When we're redeemed, it's full-bodied redemption that we're promised. It's not just going to be, you know, it's not going to be just Rosie's soul that's resurrected. It's going to be Rosie's whole body that's resurrected. Okay? It's not going to be just just Colin's soul that's resurrected. It's going to be your whole body that's resurrected. It's not going to be, you know, just Elsie's soul that's resurrected. It's going to be Elsie's whole body that's resurrected. We are going to be fully resurrected in the last day because we're precious to God. It's not just your, as if you can take a dissecting knife and say, well, you know, this part of me, here's my soul, here's my psyche, here's my spirit, here's my physical body over here. You know, it's not like when I took Graham to an open house at a high school recently, and in the biology lab, they had rats there all cut up and dissected, you know. God doesn't take us apart and dissect us like that. We are whole beings, and He loves all of you, not just a little part of you. Okay? You, as a whole person, are precious to Him. And so that's why He's going to resurrect all of you. Paul also said to the Corinthians, the body for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? You see, our bodies are connected to Christ. Just like we as a congregation are Christ's body, so you as an individual are part of Christ's body. And because He's interested in all of you as an individual person, that's why it's important that we take care of this body, because it's part of His image. Your flesh and blood is part of His image that He's imparted to you. It's not just your soul or spirit that bears His image. And so that's why sin is also a serious thing. Because if we sin internally, that may be we don't see that as a physical sin. We see that as some sort of spiritual sin. But it affects who we are. It affects our whole being. And in the same way, sins of the body affect part of God's image. It mars parts of God's image that He's given to us. And so, like Rick Warren has said, God considers sins against the body to be in a special class because your body is connected to the body of Christ. And that's all kind of sins of the body. Paul also said to the Corinthians, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And just as the temple was the focal point for God's presence to dwell in the Old Testament days, and before Jesus was killed and resurrected for, so our bodies are a focal point for God's presence to come and reside and dwell in us today. And we together as a congregation, being the body of Christ, is a place. We are a body as a whole where He wants to dwell, where He wants to manifest His presence and reside with us. And to another church, Paul said this, each of you will control his own body and live in holiness. And then again to the Corinthians, he says, not everything is good for you. I could say that I am allowed to do anything, but I'm not going to let anything make me its slave. Neither are we bodies that are enslaved nor out of control. We are bodies that are self-controlled. You see, God has given us a capacity, and through His Holy Spirit, He gives us a supernatural empowerment to have self-control over these bodies. We don't have to be enslaved to the things that we're tempted to go to instead of Him. Now, last week we spent a bit more time talking about some practical steps. I'm just going to mention ever so briefly just two practical steps this morning. The first one is, I think, obviously, if you feel like you are overloaded physically, you have some of those symptoms going on in your life, well, if you haven't done so yet, please go see your GP. God has gifted them with wisdom and discernment to come walk alongside of you, to try to sort out where the problems lie and try to see what can we do to help take care of your body together. And then a second thing I'd like to challenge us to do, and this is for my own household as well, is during this upcoming season of Lent, which begins on Wednesday, the 10th of February with Ash Wednesday, during the upcoming season of Lent, why don't those of us who maybe have a problem or some sort of addiction to devices, and we seem to always need to be checking our devices. First thing we do in the morning is check that device. The last thing we do at night is check that tablet or phone. Let's try to take a bit of a fast from our tablets and phones during Lent. So whatever is going to work for you, whether that means cutting it down from spending 4 hours a day on your phone or device down to 2 hours a day, or whether you're going to try to actually put that thing away, you know, one day a week, or whatever it is, you sort that out between you and God. Just go to Him and say, God, what would you have me to do here? What can I do so that I'm doing what's good for my brain? I'm doing what's good to give more of myself to you and to my family and friends and loved ones. Help me out here. Give me some guidance what I should do. And God will honor your request. I've heard somebody use the analogy that our bodies are like a horse. And some of you are like a big draft horse. Some of you are like a nice, sleek racehorse. Some of you are like a wee stout pony. Whatever kind of horse you are, you know, if you were privileged enough to own a horse, whatever type of horse it might be, you would take care of that horse, wouldn't you? They're a treasured possession. Not many people have the privilege of keeping a horse. You'd make sure that every day you're feeding that horse, you're brushing it, you know, you're watering it, you're exercising it. You would take care of that animal. Well, no less then does God expect us to take care of ourselves. An MD said that God gave us an amazing gift, and all we're required to do is to feed it, water it, rest it, and move it. Brothers and sisters, we need to take care of our bodies and build back in some sort of physical margin around our lives so that we can bear God's image as we walk this earth, so that we can host His presence to the extent that He wants us to, so that we can do whatever it is He's designed and purposed you to do, and so that we can simply enjoy this life like He wants us to. We ended last week with some of David's words to God, and we're going to do that today as well. David said to God, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous." Turn to your neighbor and tell them, "You're marvelous."